thanks again for Linode for sponsoring this episode of the news. They've actually upped our affiliate link. So instead of getting 1 month of credit, you now get $60 of credit, which you can make last up to 3 months, I think. It's $60 or 60 days, so 2 months, I guess, of credit. So if you use our affiliate link, you can get a little bit more credit and experiment with things. They really want you to mess with that Kubernetes cluster and some of the other services like their Amazon S3 substitute, which is quite competent. You should definitely give that a spin. They've also been writing a lot of how-tos. So like setting up the WireGuard thing, which I think we can improve on. And we will soon improve on because WireGuard. They've got a lot more services today than they did previously. You should really check it out. And in fact, if you're going to do a commercial migration to like Kubernetes from Google Compute Cloud or even some of the Azure Compute services and you're using Kubernetes, come to the Level 1 forum. I'll actually help you do that. So thank you, Linode, and on with the news.
Hello, chat. Today is August 11th, 2020. We're a little over halfway done with this year. Today we're discussing government and robots, which is a weird combination. We haven't done that in a while, but that's the way it fell out this week.
That's what you chose, actually, Krista.
That's just the way it happened. No one can say.
Why would you lie to these fine people?
Listen, vote for me, 2020. Please don't. Don't do that.
We couldn't do any worse. With the current elections. Imagine your level of like
spaz.
Yeah, the anxiety you would have leading the country.
Well, it's like the pictures of before and after of all the presidents, and like their hair just goes completely gray by the end.
Unfortunately,
my hair still is all brown, but it would just turn in completely gray by the end.
Unfortunately, you're not old enough, right? Because
35.
No. Yeah, I'm not old enough.
Can you imagine to be like, Madam President? It's 3 a.m. and you're still playing Minecraft.
Madam President, you've just been rocking in the corner for like 20 minutes. Are you okay?
You're meeting with Jim Tan tomorrow. So, yeah.
But I'm just like cramming Chinese, trying to make sure I make a good impression.
So, speaking of China, TikTok. Oh, the TikTok. The drama continues. It came to a bit of a head, although I think there will be more fallout in the coming week. But now, I think maybe we've crested, and everything else will be the downhill slope. This was kind of leading up to the big show. This wasn't the big headline, but this happened earlier, so we'll cover it first.
Reuters says that the U.S. Senate has voted to ban TikTok app on U.S. government devices. They voted Thursday and unanimously approved a bill banning federal employees from using the video sharing app TikTok on government-issued devices. Turns out they're worried about the data, things like location data. Now, I'm not defending TikTok. It is absolutely exfiltrating all of your data and, you know, it's the intent. And apps can't ascribe to intent because look at Fitbit. Remember we did that story about how, oh, there's a secret military base and if you access the public Fitbit API, there's all these... like where all these people are running around the military base, and so it gives you a nice outline of the military base.
I don't think any of that matters. Why would a government-issued phone ever need TikTok?
Yeah.
Get another phone if you want to play on it. Taxpayer-funded phone? No joy.
Only just the dumb phone.
Only the bureaucracy that you inflict on the rest of us.
It'd be funny if you could only, like your government-issued phone could only be like one of those Nokia.
The old blue ones.
So it can dial numbers. That's all it can do.
It also classifies as an assault weapon. It's a brick.
Yeah. Whatever happened, you remember the, was it Energizer that made the giant battery phone? I never heard anything else about that. Was that just a gimmick?
Yes, that was totally
they
just a gimmick.
They never actually made that.
Well, they did make a few, but no one cared.
You remember their name, so...
Well,
it's the Energizer battery company. So,
this is probably not going to be a short episode of the news, and I need to not ramble, but I'm a little sleep deprived, so it's all right. I was thinking about doing a video on how like terrible it is abandoned Android devices. So, like, somebody bought the Energizer phone, and they're probably not getting proper Android updates, or if they are, nothing is being tested. Because, like, I've got the Lenovo Yoga Book, which has got Android on it, and they abandoned it. And it's a great device.
But it's those updates will destroy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had a tablet. God, I don't even remember the name of it. It was one of those Samsung tablets. And I just use it for e-reading.
Yeah.
Which is like, hey, I'll leave it plugged in. And I'll just read books on it, and it's fine. And it got to the point where turning the page took 10 seconds.
It's you think maybe the spyware is running so hardcore in the background that they're like, oh, man, we didn't test this on older devices.
I don't know what it's doing. Well, I mean, it could be that, or it could just be that, you know, they want to force people to upgrade.
I hate arguing for Apple, but older Apple devices, like when Apple decides the older device is not supported, it's basically like, you're on your own. See ya.
Yeah, I could even do without an internet connection.
Yeah.
You know? I'll copy those in manually, thanks. Anyway. Yeah, it's Google. I think it's pretty common knowledge.
Google with all those resources, and they just, this is terrible. It's a terrible ecosystem. They just don't care.
I think that's true of most technology companies. But you know who does care? And it's doing everything he can to protect us, because he's the golden god. I'm being sarcastic for those of you who are already going to the comment section, Jesus Christ. The TikTok scourge must be stopped. And even though we've taken these half measures, as we talk about the Senate, actually pretty much everybody's banned it, but we need to go farther. We need to cut. TikTok is it's one of the poisonous fruits, but we must cut at the base of the plant.
Trump will prohibit transactions with ByteDance beginning September 20th in an apparent TikTok ban. This story, it's almost more news, the freak out from this, than the actual thing, because people were saying, wait a minute, Tencent has stakes in things like Fortnite and PUBG and or mobile PUBG and all these other games. Does that mean that we can't do anything with any of those companies as well, because ByteDance wasn't the only company named? And the answer is no. It's fine. This is literally just...
Well, but based on the wording and this next article...
Trump blew up more than just TikTok and WeChat. Yeah, we mostly, I think the dust on this has settled, that you can still play PUBG, but...
So, any property subject to jurisdiction in the United States...
With ByteDance.
So, yeah, I mean, it could be a lot of things, but I don't know if Trump meant that. He probably did not write these. So, did the person who was writing them understand exactly what they were doing? Or was this just more like lawyers who didn't really understand the tech part of it?
The original thing was written in Crown, so.
So, yeah, they point out a lot of different possibilities, and there's a lot of companies that do business and could have wide-reaching effects. I think with most things that the government does in terms of lawmaking, you create the law as broadly as possible just in case you ever need to go back and be like, well, that's what it says.
I think the common theme here is that Google's Android has just failed catastrophically, not just in old devices that are, you know, poorly supported, but the whole point of running Java on these darn things was to provide a virtual machine sandbox from one application to the other. And you're telling me that these applications can exfiltrate data to the extent that...
Jeez, the word darn? You don't need to be so, like...
These
so
darn things.
Please, dagnabbit is the more acceptable.
I mean... The whole point of Android was, it's like you can run apps securely and you can be safe in the knowledge that you're running an app in a sandbox and it's not going to steal your stuff.
See, you're so pure and innocent.
That was the whole point of Java.
The point of Android was to make Google money. And to say anything different is a naivety that is beyond anything.
They have failed catastrophically.
And, if you think that everybody, literally everybody, isn't just out there to squeeze every last penny out of what they have, then you're a fool, because they are absolutely doing that. Even when the thing that they are tasked with has nothing to do with making money. They are actually funded by our taxes to do a service, but beyond that, they're like, no, we must make money.
Lawmakers asked California DMV how it makes $50 million a year selling drivers' data. It was $88 million. Not 50 million. I think it was 50 million gross or something. But yeah, it turns out a lot of companies are willing to sell data. The really egregious thing here is that the California DMV doubled down and they said, here's the companies that we sell to, and it's very controlled, and there's nothing to freak out about, and blah, blah, blah. Motherboard did the research. One of those companies that they sold to will indiscriminately sell you as much data as you want. So they resell the data.
But the answer here is very simple, and no one's going to do it. But, I mean, it's the simplest thing in the world. You cut the DMV's funding by $50 million or $80 million or whatever it was. It's like, oh, you're going to make money on your own? Don't need our money. And then they'll have no reason to do it the next year.
Or they'll have... They will no longer be operational because they have to do it. They're going to do it anyway, I guess.
No, I guarantee all that money went to benefits of mostly probably the people in power.
Probably.
And I'm not saying they took the money home, but I'm saying that their offices probably got some really cool stuff.
I'm so angry about the Pacer article we're going to cover later because they were funding all kinds of stuff that had nothing to do with providing documents that the DMV probably did that as well. It's like, we've got this amazing employee lounge that has a foosball table. And it's like, that's not... Oh, yeah.
All of the upper echelon at the California DMV got some sweet Herman Miller arrow chairs. You put them out of business.
Only the people with documents... Do what, Krista?
I just said they got an espresso machine, like all kinds of nice stuff like that.
Oh, man, the Microsoft campus, they've got like the hot cookie machines and the espresso machines. They fly some dude in from Germany to work on their espresso machines. It's amazing. Sorry.
You guys an espresso. Excoriate them, chat.
Espresso.
Is it espresso?
Did I say espresso?
You putting the X
in
it. I
said espresso. I totally said espresso.
I will just imitate the way that somebody else pronounces something without realizing it.
Let's try to abuse that, Krista.
On a phone call with a client.
People blasted me for saying Ontario instead of Ontario, and I've just been gleaning the news articles. Like, please give me an Ontario story. Because I'm going to say Ontario for the rest of my life. Now, last week, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, we talked about the FCC and Pi's crusade to help the little man, the imprisoned little man. And because those phone rates are actually pretty crazy, considering we live in a world where per minute phone rates are kind of a thing of the past. I guess you can still get a plan like that, right? But it would be really low.
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you?
But when you are forced into a terrible position against your will, and basically held hostage, although, you know, you might have done something terrible to get there, they can charge you whatever they want. And him being the prince of a man that he is, he wanted to protect those poor people. And while he didn't actually solve the biggest problem that was discussed in the other story, he has done something.
The FCC lowers some prison phone rates after blaming states for high prices. This was Ajit Pai. Ajit Pai is at work again. FCC tentatively approves 14 cents per minute limit, but only for interstate calls. Unless you're in jail. If you're in the county jail, it's 16 cents a minute, not 14. But this is down from like 25 plus cents per minute, depending on what the scenarios were. 14 cents a minute still seems like robbery, though.
That's like, what, $8 an hour?
Yeah.
Something in that neighborhood? So that's pretty crazy, considering that you are in a position where you can't really make money.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have prison jobs, but they pay like, what, 75 cents a day or something like that.
It's just like, yeah, it's like slave labor.
So you work all month, you get a 1 hour phone call. And that's not the only thing. So, yeah, like you say, the interstate calls are still not regulated by the FCC, which is probably good. But in this case, it means that they can charge them crazy rates. But also, you don't just, you know, there's no like, you don't feed quarters to these machines. There's no cash in prison. So you have to actually prepay an account. And there are service fees. And they capped those as well, but it's crazy. It's like $5 to pay through a human being.
Yeah.
Per payment. And $3 for online and stuff like that. So they just hit you in so many different ways.
One other good thing they did, though, is with these prepaid calling card things that you have to do. If the calling card doesn't make the distinction between out-of-state and in-state calls, they have to follow the out-of-state rules, even though it may technically be an in-state call.
Well, with those card services, they probably do route it out-of-state, right?
I would think so. I mean, it's probably all on the internet anyway, so who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. The cost to the company providing the service? $0 a minute. It's so close to zero, it might as well be zero.
Now, the other thing about Ajit Pai that we know based on his history is that he is dedicated, absolutely in his soul. What he wants is for the public to be able to make their voices known in online petitions. It's what he's famous for. And this is no exception. He has, now some people, and by some people, I mean almost everybody else, is against the whole repeal 230 thing that Trump is, you know, campaigning for. But Ajit Pai says, I'm not political. Even though everybody else in existence says this is a bad idea, we must let the people's voices be heard.
The FCC chair says the agency will take public comment on Trump social media petition. So he did say that even though we're going to take a, you know, a petition, it doesn't count for anything, it doesn't weigh anything, but the FCC has a mechanism to allow public comment on things. And the only thing that I could, like, maybe I'm jaded, but I was reading Ajit Pai's words, and it was almost like he was gloating over the fact that the last time the FCC did this, they stuffed the ballot box with all sorts of ridiculous, insane comments, and then they played dumb when they were like, well, we don't know who submitted these. And then journalists had a field day doing freedom of information requests showing that bots were like, yeah, we're pro rolling back all this stuff. And people like had their information submitted fraudulently and crap like that. That seemed to me to be what he was saying. He's like, we're going to do this petition and then we're going to do that again. And it's going to be pro repeal the Section 230 thing. It's like, come on.
It actually is not as black and white, or, you know, it's not as landslide as you'd think, because a lot of people are with Trump on the 230 thing because of people being deplatformed. And that is kind of a problem, but I'm always going to go back to the whole idea of, you know, it's like, it's your business, you do what you want. Start another service if you don't like it.
But then you think of some of the people on the forum. And you're like, oh, right.
So sometimes it is less obvious when someone is unhinged. But we also have the new thing now, which is, some people seem to genuinely delight in prodding unhinged people into unhingedness, but they themselves are not actually unhinged.
Yeah, it's a
whole rainbow of dysfunction. And I think it's only getting worse, you know, as the internet. That was the thing about the internet, you know, that people always talk about. It's like, well, you know, there was probably always people who were into furry porn, but they shamedly hid it from everyone because no one else is into it. But the internet lets them come together, which sort of gives them the confidence to unleash it onto the world.
Before the internet, to get that kind of material, you'd have to call that one rule BBS in Alaska.
Well, you can make your own. You know, which is why a lot of, I don't think there's, is there any commercial production of furry porn? I think it's pretty grassroots.
Welcome to the Fur Den, Saskatchewan.
And it's just a guy who traps beavers, yeah, up there. And he had no intention of making it that, but he started making a little money. He's like, I'm just going to go with it. The Krista, your house hunt continues, and it seems like the real estate trend, surprising everyone, has actually been a lot more homes being sold during the pandemic.
Yes, and it's insane. They go so quick. Literally, you'll see a house that's like, oh, that's not too bad, and then like the next day it's sold.
And unsurprisingly, the trend is to go to rural, depopulated areas where there are no other people to infect you.
Two houses near where it's totally people moving from the city. They're like, we sold everything. We moved here. We're going to work online. It's like, all right.
Why are you telling me this? Never speak to me and my children again.
Yeah, pretty much.
And
you're coughing on me. Go away.
The one thing that we know from living here, and certainly from house searching here, the problem with that plan is your internet connection, especially if you're going to be a remote worker.
Yeah.
And this makes this next headline completely unsurprising to us, although it did seem to surprise the people running the company.
SpaceX says Starlink Internet has extraordinary demand with nearly 700,000 interested in the service. I really wish that Elon Musk had worded the questionnaire, like the sign-up questionnaire, so they could use the data to go back to Congress to be like, look, the FCC has lost its mind. Because we're always talking about that. ISPs are like, we service this area, blah, blah, blah. Elon Musk could ask, like, what's your zip code? Where do you live? What services can you get? And maybe people, and as you could say, I don't know. But for like us, like if we were applying for Starlink, you know, I would fill that out and be like, yeah, I literally can't get anything. And Elon Musk could use that. And maybe we could turn this machine in on itself. So Elon Musk can be like, I have to do this because ISPs will not service this area. And you could use the FCC data to say that some ISP says they service this area. And when they don't, you know, demand an explanation for why did you say you service this area when you don't. I was like, oh, we can sell 1.5 megabit. It's like, well, that doesn't count as service. That is just...
But, What's going to happen, though, is, like, if they use that at all, it's just going to be, like, give us federal dollars to bring Starlink to...
Yeah.
And they're not going to care about, like, doing anything else, but like, to actually improve everybody's lot.
Well, I would rather them give that money to him. As much as I dislike Musk, he's not worse than, you know, the ISPs.
And at least there would be internet at that point, in theory.
There are some good local ISPs, but most local ISPs are not great.
And you know the cool thing about Musk, and I think his particular mental illness would be super useful here, is when you had terrible service, if you tweeted him about that and just crapped all over his service, he would have to respond. I mean, he might sue you, but he would probably try and make sure that somebody did something about that just because it was wounded his ego.
Every now and then that happened with Steve Jobs. Like somebody would email Steve Jobs and they were like super angry about something about Apple. And then later that internal Apple communication chain would leak. And those are always entertaining. If no other reason than Steve Jobs just chastising somebody.
Now they mentioned I can't remember what exactly it was called, but it's the ground unit, and I couldn't get a feel if that's like a local hub. But I would think that would have to be at your house, right?
For what?
I can't remember what they called it. He's trying to get more. The license is to get more of these things.
A user terminal.
Simple user terminals.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Some web developer did a really amazing animation of like as the satellites move through the sky, how your individual connection will switch from one satellite to the next. It was fascinating.
But if it wasn't at your house, that would mean they would have to run some sort of cabling from that to your house. And that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I bet it is like, it's like a satellite dish almost. Like a...
Yeah, like DirecTV.
Yeah.
And so that's how you're going to tell you're in a rural area when all the trailers have the Starlink dish.
But it's they like, don't... Oh. That's the thing I don't think they have... Because it's not the number of satellites that's increasing. It's the number of those terminals.
At my mom's house, the way the mountains are, she couldn't get DirecTV, but they just put a dish up the hill, and there was a box for that, and they just ran a thing to that, and it wasn't a big deal.
Before digital satellites, people had the big dishes at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
And, like, most of them eventually got motorized.
Yeah, I remember the repointing, and it was like, let me tune the channel. It's like, ka-chunk, ka-chunk,
but before that, you'd have to go up the hill and crank to get the different satellites. It was hilarious. So, this is more of a security story, but it is a U.S. government contractor. Although this U.S. government contractor is made up of previous intelligence service people.
What could possibly go wrong?
So, basically, people were in the government... They figured out, hey, we could do this thing, which we could sell back to the government, you know, the revolving door, and it's just the worst thing in the universe.
U.S. government contractor embedded software and apps to track phones. Anomaly 6 has ties to the military intelligence and military and intelligence agencies. It draws location data from more than 500 apps with hundreds of millions of users. I did a little research on this, and it seems as though Anomaly 6 wrote a library that makes it really easy to deal with location services. But this location services thing also reports to Anomaly 6. So, like, once they've got the information they need, it just looks like a normal internet request. And it's just in this library. So, here's a free library you can use with your application that does all this amazing stuff. Oh, and by the way, it sends telemetry to us.
I think it's worse than that. And they wouldn't answer this question, but I think that there is some sort of money changing hands there.
Probably.
So, if you're willing to use their library and let it talk to them, they're going to give you something. For every record that you give them.
Nice.
So, yeah, they're like, hey, look, this is totally legal what we're doing. And the people asking them were like, well, yeah, that's not really the spirit of what we're saying here. We know it's legal, but it seems wrong because the government, it's like the license plates. The government's not allowed to do this, but they're allowed to let you do this. But you used to be the government.
Don't
question it.
It's that thing that we're always talking about that is poisoning the tree of liberty, slowly but surely.
Oh, that tree is long. It's just a little stump with acrid smoke coming off of it at all times. Actually, within like a 20-foot radius, all vegetation is dead.
Nothing will ever grow again.
and the Pacer system... So the Pacer system is a way for you to look up things about the laws. Those things that if you don't follow, they will take your life from you and imprison you and make you pay $8 an hour to use the phone. You know, the things that...
Such as too many parking tickets.
It would make sense everybody would have access to so that we know how we're supposed to behave. But no, you have to pay for that as well.
Government's PACER fees are too high, a federal circuit says. All you need to know about this is that the government says that it takes $142 million a year to run a service that's a network drive full of PDFs.
And so it's per page.
10 cents per page.
You pay per page.
But you don't understand, Ryan. It takes $142 million a year for us to offer a network drive full of PDFs.
Up to $3 per document. So I guess like it caps out is the way that makes that sound.
I mean, how many corporations are hosting this much online PDF material just for free as part of their
One of the things, the level one forum is probably about 40 or 50% as large as that.
We can start charging 10 cents per thread.
Oh, I think our patrons take good care of us.
10 cents per shitpost.
Oh, that would be a great punishment. It's like you were being punished for
terrible posts. Ooh, we should do
that
for April Fool's next year. Oh.
Now, one of the things that precipitated this is some clever programmer wrote a plugin that every time somebody bought one of these documents, it would upload it to the Internet Archive, and then anybody using the plugin, it would first check the Internet Archive to see if somebody else bought this document before returning it. Because once you've bought the document, nothing can stop you legally from providing that document for free if you so choose. And they were unhappy about that.
That guy's probably paying $8 an hour for phone calls right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They really like that treasure trove. Just like they, you know, they really love to be able to sell things that cost them nothing or are already being funded by the taxpayers' dollars, like driver's licenses. New York is, the states all together are really ramping up to attack the big tech companies. And I'm not even to start. It's in progress. The attack has begun. But what they're finding, and these are like the sort of the vanguard states like California and New York, they're finding that their old laws might be a little antiquated when talking about the modern tech giants.
New York unveils landmark antitrust bill that makes it easier to sue tech giants. The legislation comes as federal panel is investigating the market power of Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Google. Basically, lawmakers looked at the whole diapers.com thing we talked about last week, which if you're not in, you should definitely go check out last week's thing because it will make you super angry. And because usually those kinds of cases are hard to prove, but apparently there was enough of a paper trail here that they lost. It would be a slam dunk case should it be prosecuted. And this is going to pave the way to be able to do more of this kind of thing. And I think it's going to happen with like Amazon third party sellers, because Jeff Bezos said he could not guarantee, that was the words from the hearing, that third party seller data wasn't used to then compete with third party sellers.
The exact wording is that previously you had to have two parties conspiring for price fixing type of thing. 100 years ago, no one envisioned something like Amazon being able to, like, okay, if you just had one company conspiring, how would they ever figure out what the other company is doing? It doesn't make any sense. But the world we live in now makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
We're having the election, maybe.
We'll see. The November event yet to be decided.
But there is, as there has been for the past few elections, a lot of fear-mongering when it comes to interventions. And, you know, I mean, based on going back at least to Bush, it does seem like every election has been interfered with greatly. It definitely seems like those voting machines can be pretty much set to return whatever they want. But I don't know who they is. That's the problem. But the thing about it is they want certainly to appear that they're doing everything they can, including taking money from us and giving it back to somebody if they help.
U.S. is offering a $10 million reward for hackers meddling in the U.S. election. Well, no, wait. No, they're not offering $10 million for you to interfere in the election. They're offering $10 million to turn in people who are interfering in the election, including the State Department apparently sent a bunch of text messages around, like, Iran and some other places. And I think it was only supposed to go to a small population, but it ended up going to everybody. So, like, you know, the little old lady, like your little old grandma in Tehran is like, 10 million U.S. reward for information about hackers. Doesn't seem like that's effective.
If you see somebody using a laptop wearing a hoodie who does not have a face, you might want to report that.
Yeah, you're sitting at your cafe outside, socially distanced, and you see the guy, no face, and it's like, is that a Nazgul? Or is it a hacker interfering with the U.S. election?
Could be both.
Didn't they never pay the...
say something.
Didn't they never pay the reward for the bin Laden tip? I don't think they ever paid the reward for the bin Laden tip.
That wouldn't surprise me.
There's going to be a lot of comments about how they never killed him. It was pretty suspicious how they were just like, nah, just dump him in the ocean. Because that's what we do with bodies in the military. So we talked about...
oh my gosh, we hid and Nazi'd him again. That would be crazy.
Wait, what?
There's a book called The Hidden Nazi, and it's about how we literally did that. With
where do you think he is?
South America.
What's he doing with his new life?
Selling
insurance somewhere?
Beach bunnies in Rio de Janeiro.
So we talked about the diapers.com thing, and diapers.com, I don't think they were in the Amazon ecosystem. They were a competitor. But the weird thing about it is a lot of Amazon's competitors sell exclusively on Amazon.com. That's a weird relationship, right? But it kind of works. Although some people think that it doesn't quite work.
Prosecutors are investigating Amazon's treatment of third-party sellers. Attorneys General from New York and California are joining the FTC to look into Amazon Marketplace. This is, again, more fallout from the Senate hearing testimony and also diapers.com. But the testimony that was in this article was not super compelling. It was about a bookstore that was mysteriously delisted from Amazon. And it's like, guys, diapers.com. You got everything you need.
I don't understand what's going on with this image. Is this supposed to be like a bullseye? It looks so rusty and disgusting.
It's like a pixel effect. I don't like it. I don't really understand it. I guess it's because they're saying there's a bullseye on Amazon, but...
Poorly done. Who was that?
It usually doesn't say. It doesn't always give artwork credit.
No, it's The Verge. Illustration by Alex Castro.
Oh, Alex Castro.
Step it up, Alex. Come on. Twitter. Again, this story, it could have gone on social media, but the FTC is involved, so I figure, you know, that's the government. And we knew that this had already happened, and they had already been chastised for it, but now we're probably going to give them a fine.
FTC is so late to the party on this one.
Yeah, well, 2019. But clearly, they did wrong. They did not actually pretend they did not do wrong, because you could not defend this.
Twitter faces FTC probe and a likely fine over the use of phone numbers for ads. We covered this when the story broke. If you gave Twitter your phone number for two-factor authentication purposes, it would use that to advertise to you. And that is not okay. That was even against its own terms of service. It was like, man, we got all these phone numbers. It's too bad we can't do something with them. And somebody in marketing was like, oh, I know. Look, I've made the company so much money. And it's like, this is terrible.
Total mistake.
Oops.
We didn't mean to do that. And, of course, Twitter was quick to point out. It's like, hey, remember that time Facebook did that?
Look at him. Don't look at me.
They weren't wrong. And Facebook, as usual, has more troubles always revolving around how it deals with basically people saying something that people in power don't like on Facebook. Mm. It always comes back to that. And, you know, we talk about the level one forum. So on a minuscule scale, we have some understanding of how impossible this is. What can you do? I mean, they literally have warehouses full of people whose minds are being destroyed right now to try and combat this. They're throwing human minds at it. This is like the Vietnam of the online era. And it's not enough.
Facebook must better police online hate, state attorneys general say. The call from 20 state officials adds to the rising pressure facing Mark Zuckerberg and his company. They're making some changes. They took down a few political posts, which they said they would never do, but it was because it was just even more insane. I agree that intolerance must not be tolerated, but what these state attorneys general are calling for will not end well.
Do you really agree that intolerance must not be tolerated?
That's the paradox. The only thing that cannot be tolerated is intolerance. That's the paradox.
Then you become intolerant.
But this is the paradox.
Yeah, which is why you can't ever...
There was a Monty Python skit about that even.
So, it's ridiculous, and it's never going to work, and there's always going to be more people saying things you don't like than your ability to stop them from doing so. So, yeah. They'll find them. They'll pay it. The money will be wasted, and the cycle will continue. The wheel in the sky will keep turning. Remember the tracking system for the old pandemic? Hey, that's still going on.
Yeah. Everybody's Android phones have updated, and now you have a new menu item, whether you want it or not.
But the states all decided to do their own kind of thing. Many of them tried to do the opposite of the Apple-Google approach, and it failed spectacularly. And a lot of taxpayer money was just flushed.
Thrown away.
Some of them have revamped and said, okay, we're going to do it that way. Even though you have your thing, we're still going to do our thing, but we're going to use your SDK, which means it's basically the same thing. And a lot of back and forth. The first will be rolled out.
Apple and Google's tracking app for the thing will make its full U.S. debut in new Virginia app, although Alabama released a closed pilot for its app this week. So these are quote-unquote official apps. It's like, please everybody download and install these. And it's going to make use of that underlying tracking API, which does actually use your location, as it turns out.
Well, this one maybe not. So I was confused by that, because when we learned about the Google version, you had to turn your location data on. This one claims not, or at least its article claims
so not. So I don't know if this is true, engagement challenge, but it looks like from a developer perspective, the application is not allowed to use your location. But because it uses the operating system, new operating system level APIs for this tracking, those do use your application.
So Virginia will have your location.
Right.
But Google will have
definitely.
Also, how about Alabama trying to turn that image around? First. Good job, Alabama.
Trying to go over top of Kentucky for once.
I'm sure that Alabama's full of a lot of resourceful people that just don't always get the chance to actually do anything useful because everything gets in the way.
Well, I'm sure the same is true of North Korea.
Yeah, when and we Kentucky, say, to be honest.
Yeah, you can't blame the populace for the mistakes of the leadership. That's a terrible fallacy. Quantum computers. We need them. We want them. But not many people understand them. And to be fair, you know, the quantum realm is a little bit of a mind bender. You probably definitely need to be introduced to it at an early age.
I think only Ant-Man understands the quantum.
To get in that mindset. Now, the Chinese are way ahead of us, and that's going to be a problem for future generations, which means I don't care about it. But you got to do something now, and the White House says they've got a plan.
White House unveils partnership to boost quantum science education. The White House Office of Science and Technology Policy said on Wednesday that the Trump administration is launching a national education partnership expected to expand access to K-12 quantum information science. What do you teach a fourth grader about quantum information theory?
A fourth grader? How about K?
Yeah.
All right, little Timmy, we're going to talk about entanglement. Here's a ball
of yarn. You haven't even done a single typing class yet. But yes, let's go on and move into this.
Most of them are soiling themselves.
Not at that age. They are like snot all over each other still.
Turning me loose with a screwdriver in kindergarten worked out for me in particular, but
I would all those I kids make lost policy their sight. Based on your particular.
Yeah, I would love brand. To see the kindergarten quantum curriculum. That'd be great. Yeah. Anybody who's got a kid in kindergarten sees some quantum homework coming home.
If this leads to them not teaching math the way that they currently teach elementary school math, I'm all for it.
How about Common Core quantum physics?
Here is it's like we must watch the historical documents. Here's an Einstein-Rosenberg bridge. Wait a minute, this is just old reruns of Sliders.
Uber, that company that might not exist much longer from now, because their whole business model has been destroyed by the pandemic. Man. They had kind of put some of the darkness behind them when it came to stealing some other secrets when it came to self-driving. But just because it's behind them doesn't mean the people involved are done with it.
Lewandowski has been sentenced to 18 months in prison, and as a new $4 billion lawsuit against Uber is filed. He was the self-driving engineer. We've covered this a lot in the past. He went to work for another company, brought some stuff with him, and it turns out he was not acting in good faith, at least according to this sentencing. He's not going to have to report to prison until after the thing passes.
There's at least one person in the world who sees the news every day. He's like, yeah, record cases. Yeah. So he wanted house arrest. They said, no, sir, you are a multi-millionaire. Your house is a fine place to be. You must do actual prison time. Now, the lawsuit is from him against Uber because he claims they were supposed to not only protect him legally, but they were supposed to make a deal that all the good stuff that came from his theft would pay him
residuals,
an interest rate on that,
yeah,
whatever they made. And they have refused that on account of him being a criminal.
Do you think that this ends up, like, the crazy end to the story ends up being that Google just absorbs Uber?
Uber is...
what a great name for the new company.
I totally didn't mean to do that. I guess my mind did. It's far too valuable now. I think, you know, let's assume that this stretches on until next summer. Then it's a juicy berry.
I don't know. In the business section, we're going to talk about Uber's losses, which were just...
Yeah, but it's still going to take time for them to truly be destroyed. But yeah, I think somebody takes them over. I think there's a lot of that going on. There are definitely people who had, gunpowder set aside who are like, yes, I will take your restaurant and gym equipment. Yes, I will store that because a day will come when I will just start my own and it'll be
it's
totally cheap. Speaking of Google, that's probably what made you think of it, right?
Yep.
Speaking of Google gobbling up other companies, their latest target is Fitbit. And obviously, as soon as they mentioned that, everybody said, wait, okay, so how can Google abuse this? Oh, God.
This is the third chapter in our reporting on this. The EU has actually formally launched its antitrust probe into Google's Fitbit takeover. When we first started reporting this, we reported it's like Google was like, look, we're going to write a check. It's going to be over and done. We don't need to haul out the antitrust, anything. This is totally fine. We're going to give you all of these... stipulations, all of these concessions, and the
EU... So they wouldn't use the data.
EU is having none of it.
Because who believes it?
Yeah.
Literally no one.
It's going to probably be about 2 years before Google can complete this acquisition, which is exactly what they didn't want. They're like, look, guys, we can just build this ourselves faster. I mean, come on.
I wonder if Fitbit is suffering right now because, like, nobody can go to the gym.
Yes.
You're just like... Your Fitbit is just sitting at home, just vibrating constantly, like, do something.
I saw an app, though. I think that might be what Chris is alluding to. I saw an app that was like, here, you can run in the wilderness using GPS and your Fitbit, and then, you know, like, make some shapes and stuff.
Yeah, so, like, when I went on that hike a few weeks ago with my friend, she has a Fitbit, and she was using that to track our mileage, but it's not great when you're going over rough terrain, but it was kind of close. It wasn't bad. So I think people are using it, but probably more for like outdoor running and things like that.
Pro criminal tip. Might not as good, though. If you're a woods murderer of hikers, check closely for any Fitbits or other tracking devices to take off of them and destroy after you murder them.
There have been several cases of the Apple Watch reporting that their wearer was unconscious, and at least one of those was a mugging.
Well, the one guy fell into a ravine. Remember that one?
Yeah.
And he was like bleeding to death. And they were like, oh, okay. Here's a man bleeding to death. Go get him. It's like, well, that's cool, but terrifying as well. I accidentally showed this story too early.
It's amazing.
But so Germany, last week, they came out against Tesla. And they're like, listen, self-driving? No, you can't say that. Your cars do not self-drive. You cannot advertise them as such. And this week, it seems like they're just continuing the trend of smacking Tesla for poor choices.
Tesla's wiper controls were ruled illegal in Germany after someone crashed while using them. So it was a wet road, obviously. And the wiper, you know, Teslas have a wiper stalk. You can control the wipers from the wiper stalk. But it's got software to try to figure out how fast to move the wipers, and you've got some control over that, I guess, from the stalk. But if you want more fine-grained control, you have to go through the touch screen.
I don't think it does the intermittent on the stalk.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just on-off.
You have to touch that on the screen or whatever?
Well, it's automatic. So it uses the cameras and your speed to automatically adjust your wiper speed. But apparently that wasn't working for this guy.
You can override it in the touch screen, which you're not allowed to use while you're driving.
Right. So he wrecked by, you know, obviously you're not supposed to mess with the screen while you're driving. Yeah. That's why touch screens in cars are so stupid. And we rail against them.
The German automakers agree.
Yeah. And so they have now said that, no, just because you were trying to change the wipers, which is a necessary thing while driving,
yeah,
you still can't use the touchscreen, which means that Tesla has inherently created an illegal thing in their cars. Unless you want to pull off the road, adjust your wipers, and then pull back onto the road.
Well,
as an aside, that is just annoying, because like, as the rain changes, you might want to, like, you know, fiddle with it a little bit.
Well, they say that their automatic system will automatically deal with that, and apparently there is a voice control. But how many voice controls do you have to memorize to be able to do, like, intermittent 1 second, intermittent 2 seconds?
Yeah. Or, you know, like, sometimes you're driving through a shower, and then it's, like, really heavy, and then it kind of backs off, and then it's really heavy.
What do they call those? Microbursts?
What a boring dystopia.
Yeah.
Well, it's not boring for that guy. He wrecked his car.
I feel like he did it out of spite. He was just like, you know what, if I can't change this, and he just... swerved off.
He was like pawing at the controls, and he was just like, Jesus, take the wheel. Can't live like this. So, he got in some trouble, right?
Yeah.
And he appealed, and that's how all this came out.
Yep.
So, if you're in Germany, don't touch that screen while you're driving. What about the stereo controls? Those are on the screen.
Yeah. All Elon Musk has to do is to wait for some German company to engineer some kind of touch screen that makes sense, and then he can copy it, and it'll be fine.
You know what makes sense? The existing controls we have in automobiles.
Which have taken the better part of 100 years to evolve.
That little rotating stick works fine.
It's only been 50 years since we've even had windshield wipers.
I don't. My nice car, I don't drive in the rain, ever. And I got caught out in the rain with it the other day, and I realized I'd never used the windshield wipers. Didn't know where they were.
Oh, wow.
But it's intuitive. Because all other cars have it in basically the same place.
No, we must. It wasn't invented here. We must invent our own.
Oh, I hate that. Oh, I hate that. As someone who has to, like, critique other people's UX, I want to do something different. And I'm like,
no.
Is that necessary for this particular use case? Usually, no.
Wow. You would really hate the ammo world. So, China... China has, I don't know if we'd call it a problem. I don't know if Chinese people are more gamers than anywhere else in the world. But the Chinese Communist Party considers gaming a bit of an issue. They're not fans of it. And they put some pretty crazy limitations on it. But as you might imagine, people who are addicted to gaming don't really care about those limitations. So you have to enforce them. And you ask yourself, how would you possibly do that?
China's real name verification system for games is going to launch nationwide by September. China's long-planned real-name verification system for video games is almost ready for its nationwide launch. Tencent and NetEase have already implemented their own verification systems, and some games require facial recognition. So this is to implement controls. It's like, oh, you're an underage user. You can only game 1 hour per day or whatever the limitation
is. It's 90 minutes on weekdays and 3 hours on holidays. I don't know if they consider weekends holidays.
Every day we get a little closer to drink verification can.
Yeah, and 90 minutes a day. I probably don't game for my 90 minutes a day, but if you put that limitation on me, I would go crazy.
Yeah. I can think of like maybe 1 or 2 days in the last year where 3 hours would not have been enough.
But, again, it would make me want to do it if you told me I couldn't do it. So, they've pointed out a couple of different ways that kids have tried to get around this. And sometimes successfully, so they've said, no, it's going to have to be your face and your real name, because they were selling accounts.
Mm.
I mean, think about, hey, I don't play games, right? So now I have 90 minutes a day of valuable real estate to sell somebody, digital real estate. I go register an account, rent that out.
Is this actually a bad thing for the future of their society?
More or less gaming, you mean?
Less gaming.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think the bad thing about the future of their society is the draconian government controls stifling of freedoms.
Do you think the stifling of freedoms will stifle the creativity, and it's like the advancement that comes with wanting to make your circumstance better?
Absolutely, but I think their way of dealing with that is just steal from everybody else, right? Brr, brr, is that a phone?
No.
What was that noise? Oh,
there was a truck went by.
Oh. Get a muffler, dude.
Yeah, it was very loud.
Moving
I
on
don't even notice it anymore. It's like on a busy road.
Moving on to robots. Of course, with the election coming up, the big thing that we were all worried about was the deepfakes. Doesn't seem like the deepfakes have really taken off.
Nope.
We have the technology. We've seen some really good deepfakes, but no one seems to be able to figure out how to use it effectively.
The Nixon failed moon landing deepfake, that was pretty good.
Yeah, but it doesn't accomplish anything.
No.
So maybe we're out of the woods, right? But wait, that's not the only thing that AI can do.
AI-generated text is the scariest deepfake of all. Synthetic video and audio seem pretty bad, but synthetic writing, ubiquitous and undetectable, will be far worse. I'm not sure I agree with the thesis, but the idea here is that AI can be used to synthesize totally new writing that seems plausible, but is entirely fabricated.
Well, could you imagine maybe that this would be used in, I don't know, let's say the FCC comment platform?
Oh, no. Yeah. Again?
That would never happen.
But the ones before were terrible. Terrible. They were so obvious. And that's what led people to figure out that they were all from the same IP address. This time around, you know, we'll use VPNs, we'll use our botnets, and we'll use AI, and we'll make it look really organic.
It'll be amazing.
So that's the idea. It's like, you know, of course, we're already getting blanketed on Twitter and Facebook with these fake posts, right? I guess some people are falling for it.
I think the ad industry has been doing that with the clickbait ads, where like the headline is like, let's you know, find which ad does better with people clicking through. And it's just been a self-evolving thing to where now it's like, I have to click this. I have to see what Johnny Depp said. I have to click this. Because you won't believe what Johnny Depp said.
I think I would. I'll be unsurprised by his behavior. So, yeah, AI. It's creating content that we can't tell from reality. But meanwhile, AI keeps getting better and better at telling things apart, especially when it comes to organic life form, so that it can cull certain ones from the herd when the time comes.
Not even scientists can tell these birds apart, but now computers can. And it's not talking about the different species, it's talking about the individual birds.
Yeah, there's a video or like a GIF of two birds working on a nest, and it identifies both of them. Look at
it. So, turns out these birds, literally the people who study them for their whole lives have no idea. They're so similar. They're just brown. They're the most boring birds in the universe. And they're the same size. Really just a... And
Ryan, that's racist.
Well, listen. I'm saying...
They all look the same. No, Ryan. They each have their own personalities.
I'm saying brown birds are lesser than more brightly colored birds. And so what they do is they put a little band around there. It's like a resistor. They have like the colors that uniquely identify that bird. And they have to take really high resolution photographs to see the bands because birds' legs are small. And it's a real pain in the ass. So this guy, they started putting RFID chips in the bands. So he set it up, put a camera up, and put a system up to read the RFID chip. And when the bird would fly in, it would recognize, hey, this is Bob. And then the AI would look at Bob and it's like, all right, I got it. And now the AI is 90% accurate.
That's insane.
And there's
Do you think that they're using this to determine who's the laziest nest builder?
Yeah, that'd be funny, right?
They talked about using it for even things like tracking migration. It's like, do the same birds come back out year after year? Is that part of the thing? A lot of options.
But you do still have to teach somehow. So just, you know, wild flocks of birds, this wouldn't work on. But it is amazing that they can figure this out. It means we have no hope when we're all riding against the tyrannical Chinese-led American government. And the robots are taking us out one by one. Even the masks won't help. A lot of people have criticized, and I think I'm in agreement here. I don't think that I'm a supporter of zoos or aquariums.
Yeah. Most of the animals do seem sad.
It's educational. We can't say that it's not educational. But at the same time, imagine if you were locked into an alien spaceship so that they could come and look at you.
A menagerie, if you will.
And they throw food at you, but they never gave you any internet connection.
Oh, what if your other option, though, like, you can either live where you're being fed and taken care of and stuff, or you get thrown out of the airlock and then you just die in space.
But that is not the situation here. I don't think the ocean could be considered...
No, but I'm saying, like, for a lot of the animals that show up in zoos and things like that, they're usually, like, abandoned by their parents, they've been injured in the past, like, they don't know how to live in the wild.
But we could release them back into the wild. That's a thing.
Some of them can't be trained, though. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there's some that just, because they've never, like, learned those skills, or they were injured so badly when they were younger, like, they would never survive out in the wild.
But I think, what was that Netflix series about the tigers? Tiger King. That pretty much shot that theory out of pieces, because they were totally breeding the tigers and selling them to zoos.
Well, yeah, those people were.
Yeah, so a lot of that happens. And so the question is, how do we still teach the people and get out of this moral quandary?
Realistic robot dolphins could replace live animals in zoos and aquariums. Also, the Department of Defense would like to know your location. Because we could put explosives in realistic-looking dolphins.
This is pretty cool, though. Like, this would be the best-case scenario, right? Like,
maybe.
Are we going to have a new Flipper movie?
Could they not just gaslight us? Eventually be like, no, yeah, dolphins always did this behavior. Yeah, that's what regular dolphins do. And I'm like, really? I don't remember dolphins doing that. Like, no, totally.
This is the Amazon nose super dolphin.
So well, this website has just like their whole right hand menu is the newsletter.
Yeah, I don't like that.
They're desperate to get people to engage.
They also have this, which is not a button.
Share this article with somebody who loves dolphins.
It's just
text.
Just a plea. I feel like the blue door is not good at, you know, engaging with the user.
I feel like the clicks they're going to get from being in the level one news is going to far outshine any type of social media campaign or posting that they have ever done.
Well, they were on some aggregation site that I found them on, so...
I tried putting no at no.com into their subscribe list, and it said that's fake or invalid. Please enter a real email address.
What about try admin at bluedoormedia.co?
Oh, no.
And our final story is...
Thank you. It worked.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody's going to have a patch request. Our final story is really exciting at first, but try not to get your hopes too high.
60-foot Gundam robot took its first steps, and there's a video.
It's not that exciting.
It's, yeah.
Now you might be thinking, what's all this stuff behind it? That's the crane that's holding it up, because it doesn't stand under its own power. It also takes a minute to get into the...
Yeah, we can't. It doesn't, like... There's so little of this video that's real that it's like I feel like we can't even show any of it because this is just...
I like how it has to raise its groin flap in order to raise the leg. Like they made it look exactly like the anime, but it shows how non-functional that is. Yeah.
There he goes. He's bending his knee. Any minute now, he'll take a step.
I also like how it gets super unbalanced, so it's like, let me move one joint at a time because we don't have enough hydraulic pressure to do more than that.
Yeah, so I wouldn't expect him to fight any giant monsters anytime soon. But hey, maybe future generations.
Wasn't that a Robot Chicken skit where like some giant monster comes and then like there's this, you know, anime sequence and then something like this comes out and it's just barely moving and the robot's like, are you for real? And then the alien monster just smashes it.
Yeah. I think we should stick with traditional munitions.
Yeah.
If the giant monsters show up.
That's it for today.
Well, the people would be outraged if we didn't get some kind of update on the pumpkin, I think.
Pumpkin's growing well. I need to make a sling for it because he's like actually pulling the vine down. I tried to pull the vine up and like push the pumpkin back through the porch, but he's too big. He won't fit through the rungs on the
patio.
Krista, it's
been a week. If I feel like you're really, you know, like slow balling this sling. This is a time.
I know. I need to do it, but I just haven't done it. I did.
That pumpkin
I did
is
going to
die.
Dehydrating. No, he's fine.
It's going to reach the critical, like the critical weight
just
or whatever.
Bust the vine.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that vine is, it can't be that. The tensile strength is not enough.
Yeah.
We need to do that. We have bird netting. I think we're going to try to repurpose into a sling.
All right.
Hopefully it's okay.
By next Sunday, we have to have a solution in place.
Yeah. Yes.
Or we're
I commit
have to
that.
Or we're going to have a funeral for Lieutenant Dangle.
Oh, how dark would that be?
I'd have to save his seeds for next year.
Krista, give us a goodbye that pledges to be a better pumpkin mom.
I can't drum up any fake tears. I don't have enough light. Oh. Goodbye!